his word as I read. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so the message today is called Go Ye. Obviously, right there from verse 19, the command, Go Ye into all the world, Jesus says. This is otherwise known as the Great Commission. And when I see this verse and when I hear the Great Commission, I think of missionaries, of course, because missionaries go all around the world. Well, I heard a story of a missionary. This guy was appointed down to Venezuela. The problem was he didn't speak a lick of Spanish, not at all. But he got there, it was his first Sunday, so he goes to church, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he sees this man on the front row, and he decides he's the missionary, just going to mimic whatever that man does. So when that man laughed, the missionary laughed. When that man clapped, the missionary clapped. When that man bowed his head, the missionary bowed his head. And this is how he made it all the way through the service, to the very end. And the pastor's wrapping things up, probably making announcements, and the pastor says something, and that man on the front row stands up. So the missionary stands up. There's a gasp across the congregation and even some giggling. Well, after church is over, the pastor's at the door shaking hands. He not only spoke Spanish, but the pastor spoke English as well. And when the missionary comes through, the pastor looks at him and says, You don't speak Spanish, do you? And the missionary says, No, not one word. Was it that obvious? The pastor said, yeah, it was very obvious, especially at the end. When I said, I'm happy to announce the Gonzalez family has just had a new baby boy. Would the proud father please stand up? Let's look this morning at Go Ye. First of all, looking at authorization. Jesus informed his disciples that he had been given all power or authority in heaven and in earth, primarily because he's God. He is the creator. And so he has all power in heaven and in earth. By the way, this is a very strong affirmation of Jesus' deity. He says, all power I have in heaven and in earth. Primarily, Jesus has the authority because he's God. Secondarily, he has the authority because he earned it through obedience. Look at the writer of Hebrews, how he puts it in Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So Jesus here has the authority to instruct his disciples. He says, I've got all authority, and I've got authority to instruct you guys, Jesus says to them. Now, look in verse 19. The third word in says, therefore. Now, I will tell you this, in the Bible, it's so important. When there's a therefore, you must determine what it is there for. Let me say that again. When you see in the Bible a therefore, you must determine what it is there for. Since Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, therefore, he exercises his authority over earth by proclaiming what he wants done on his earth. And what does he want done? He wants the good news of the gospel to go to the whole world. This passage, as I mentioned, is known as the Great Commission. It's known as the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned his original disciples. There were the 11, and perhaps some others were there. And he told them, I want you to take this message to the ends of the earth. But by extension, Jesus was commissioning all of his future disciples, like you and I. Sadly, though, the Great Commission in our churches is often the Great Omission. Because we're quick to promote ourselves, to promote our churches, to promote our programs, but somehow in all that we fail to promote the gospel. Amen. Hear me, my friends. People, churches, and programs don't save. But God does use the gospel to save. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. This church is never going to save anybody. Our programs are never going to save anybody. Our music isn't going to save anybody. But God, through the gospel, he'll save every soul he intends to save. And so we see the authorization. But secondly, I want us to look at the commission itself. Jesus says, go. That's the first word of it, go. Literally in the Greek, Jesus is saying, as you go or as you are going. It looks like a command here, you go. But it's really as you go or as you are going. The disciples' faith was not to be a stay-at-home faith. They were to share in their daily lives as they were going. They were to be missionaries, and they were to send missionaries. Understand that Great Commission work is not an occasional task to perform. It's a lifestyle to live. So often when we think of missionaries, it's just an occasional thing. Oh, we have a missionary coming to speak next Sunday. Or we're going to take an offering for the missionaries next week. Or we're going to go on a mission trip next month. And this is, we think mission work is just something we do occasionally. That's not what Jesus said. It is not an occasional task to perform. It is a lifestyle to live. As you go. As you go. This is what Jesus told his disciples. But this is our missionary mandate as well. You see, his reign is universal. His commission is universal. And going may mean crossing the ocean. It may mean crossing the street as you go. Now, how can people who never go anywhere help fulfill the Great Commission? I mean, you're not a traveler. You're not going to Europe. You're not going to Africa. You're not going to Asia. How can you fulfill the Great Commission? Well, first of all, you can pray. That's a great way to fulfill the Great Commission. You can give. That's another way to help fulfill the Great Commission. You can go. You say you don't go anywhere, but you got to go somewhere. I mean, you got to go to the store. You got to go buy gas. Well, maybe not this week, maybe next week, but you got to go buy gas. You got to go to the doctor. You go somewhere. And Jesus says, as you go, take the message with you. And not only can you pray and give and go just locally, but you can encourage others to pray, give, and go too. Because sometimes when you're out there sharing the message of Christ, you bump into somebody who's already a Christian. Well, you don't need to win them to the Lord. They've already been won to the Lord. But what can you do? You can encourage them to pray, give, and go. So even if you don't go much of anywhere, you can still help fulfill the Great Commission. Everyone gets to participate. You see, the gospel is for all people. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 19. Go therefore and teach all nations. The gospel is for all people. It's for all nations, regardless of their economic, cultural, or ethnic backgrounds, because Christ transcends every man-made barrier. And Christ is needed in every culture and in every situation. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he kind of gives us Jesus' Great Commission in a different wording. Look what it says here in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Christ is needed in every culture, in every situation. So Jesus tells his disciples here. He says, listen, when you're at home here in Jerusalem, share as you go. If you decide to take a day trip up into Judea, share as you go. If you go on vacation to Samaria, share as you go. And by the way, maybe you will go to the ends of the earth, share as you go. And so the first part of the Great Commission, Jesus says, go. But secondly, notice what he says. He says, teach. He says, go ye therefore and teach. And by the way, he repeats himself. Look in verse 20, teaching them. And so Jesus puts double emphasis on this aspect of teaching. Yes, we need to go, but we need to make sure as we go, we teach. Literally, the word teacher means make disciples. So as you go, make disciples. The methods are open, the content is not. And so you are not going to reach children the same way you reach senior adults. You're not going to reach teenagers the same way you reach young adults. And so the methods are open, but the content is not. We must teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, Jesus double emphasizing teaching. Christianity is an informed faith. I know that we're represented, Christians are represented in the news and so on as being ignorant. Far from it. Jesus, in our Great Commission, doubled this idea, make sure you're well-informed and make sure the people you reach are well-informed. Ours is an informed faith. Not only are we informed of doctrine, what to believe, but we are informed in behavior, how we're supposed to behave. And so as we go, as we make disciples, we are informing people of what they should believe and how they should behave in order to bring honor and glory and praise to Almighty God. Now, I know a lot of us struggle with witnessing. We don't want to be that forward and just walk up to a stranger and start talking about Jesus. But let me help you with that a little bit. Do you realize that every person who's ever been born inherently knows there is a God? I don't care if the person claims to be an atheist. That person knows deep down there's a God. Let me show you the scripture for that. Paul is talking about this in Romans 1. He's talking about unbelievers, beginning in verse 19. He says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so here's the thing. People already know there's a God. You and I, as we go, our job is to introduce them to him. But you're not starting out from scratch. You don't have to start out and lay the foundation. Well, there is this God out there. They know it. All you and I need to do is introduce them to him. So we are to teach. As you go, we are to teach, make disciples. But what are we supposed to teach them? Well, specifically what Jesus instructed. Notice what he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So specifically, Jesus says, we need to teach people what he specifically taught. But by implication, we are to teach them everything he inspired others to write in his word. And let me sum up for you what the message of God's word is. We are not to teach people religion. We're to teach them about a relationship. We're not to teach them about legalism. We're to teach them about liberty. We're not to teach them about universal salvation, but about an individual commitment. We're not to teach them that you got to be good enough. We need to teach them about God's grace. And as we go, we make disciples, sharing the truth of God's word with them. So Jesus says, as you go, make disciples. But there's a third aspect. He says, baptize. Verse 19 here says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the word baptize is the Greek word baptizo. And baptizo means to immerse. Do you ever wonder why Baptists go to all the trouble of filling up this big tank back here and make people go down in there? And sometimes a pastor has to wear wading boots. And I'll tell you sometime why I don't do that. But anyway, it's very embarrassing. But anyway, we go to all this trouble and dunk people. Do you know why? Because the word baptize or baptizo in the original means to immerse. And if that's what the word means, then that's what we should be doing. Because there's other churches that sprinkle a little bit of water or maybe take a pitcher and pour over or something like that. We go to the trouble because that's what the word means. Now, baptism is an important step of obedience, commitment, and faith. It symbolizes the washing away of sin. And so when somebody is baptized, it's only symbolic, but it shows that they are going, they're taking a bath, literally, and their sins are being washed away. Yes, they're washed away by the blood of Christ, but symbolized in the waters of baptism. They are symbolizing they are dying to their sinful way of life, and they're rising again to live a new life for Christ. Also, water baptism identifies us with Christ. What happened to Christ? He died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. What do we see when somebody's baptized? Death, burial, resurrection. Now, the meaning of baptism is more important than the mode. And what I mean by mode is how you do it. And there's all different kind of ways to baptize. There's the sprinkling, the pouring, the immersing. There's being baptized backwards. There's being baptized forward. There's being baptized three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's all different kind of ways to do it. The meaning is more important than the mode. But my opinion is you might as well be right with the mode. Because honestly, when you're talking about pouring and sprinkling and immersing, which mode shows the death, burial, and resurrection, not only of Jesus Christ, but of our own lives? There's only one: immersion. And again, the word baptizo means to immerse. Notice also Jesus says, when you do immerse people, use the Trinitarian formula. Do it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Here we see another strong affirmation of the deity of Christ, because He is put in equal status with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Note the order here, though. In Jesus' Great Commission, He says, as you go, teach, then baptize. This order is very important, that we teach people first before we baptize them. In other words, we're not to baptize somebody because they were born. We're not going to baptize somebody because they've turned a certain age, like 12. We're not going to baptize somebody because everybody else is being baptized. We want these people to be informed. Remember, Christianity is an informed faith, and before somebody's baptized, they need to understand what it means, what it's all about. And so we teach first, and we baptize later. Once a person has made a commitment to Jesus Christ, who understands and believes that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for them, then they're ready for that next step of faith and commitment, that of baptism. Now, let me ask a question. Can you be saved without being baptized? I already addressed this in the illustration earlier, but can you be saved without being baptized? Well, we don't need to look any further than the thief on the cross. You might remember there were two thieves crucified on either side of Jesus, and they were both railing on Jesus, and then one has a change of heart. He repents, and he calls out to Jesus. He prays to a dying Messiah, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Can you be saved without being baptized? Yes. Can you be a Christian without being baptized? Well, what is a Christian? Well, if you look at the word Christian, the first six letters are Christ. We know who that is. What does that I-A-N on the end mean of Christian? It means follower of. So a Christian is a follower of Christ. We follow him. He said of himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we follow him. We follow his example. We follow his teachings. We follow his commands. That's what a Christian is, a follower of Christ. So to truly follow Christ, you must be baptized. If we follow his example, wasn't he baptized? Yes, he was. And you could argue with me, well, Brother Gary, that wasn't Christian baptism. That was John the Baptist. Okay, we could go off on that tangent, but he was baptized as an example to us. And what about his teachings and his commands? You see it right here. As you go, make disciples and baptize. So to truly follow Christ, you must be baptized. Now, to have your sins forgiven, to go to heaven, you have to be baptized? No! If you want to follow Christ and be obedient to him, you must be baptized. If you're not baptized, you may be a believer, but you're not obediently following Christ. If you want to be a Christian, you must be baptized. And the good news about this is that baptism is Jesus' first and easiest command to believers. I'm telling you, it is easy to be baptized. Unless you have an inordinate fear of water, which I know some people do, it's easy to put on a swimsuit, put on a white robe, and let the preacher dunk you. And we don't even hold you under extra. Even if you're mean to us, we don't do that. It's easy. It's Jesus' first and easiest command to believers. Baptism is important to Jesus. Baptism must be important to the church. Hey, do you realize it's important to our church? Let me tell you how I know baptism is important. Let me tell you the name of this church. First Baptist Church. It's in our name. And baptism should be important to each believer. So let me ask you this morning, have you been baptized? Now, this is easy, yes or no. Have you been baptized? I'm not talking about sprinkled or poured on. Have you been baptized, scripturally immersed in water? Have you been baptized? And let me ask you the next question. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Is your baptism valid? Wait, you mean I could be immersed and still not have a valid baptism? Yes. If you were baptized as a kid because your parents forced you to do it, if you were baptized because your siblings were getting baptized, if you were baptized because your friends were getting baptized, there was some revival service and you got caught up all in the emotion, but when you were baptized, you were not a genuine believer in Christ, your baptism doesn't count. And so if you've never been baptized, I would love to help you become obedient to Christ in that way. If you've been baptized, but it didn't count, believer's baptism is the only kind that counts. I would be happy to re-baptize you so that this time it means what it should mean to you. So have you been baptized? Is your baptism valid? But let's get back now to this. Let's get back now to the Great Commission. We know about Jesus today because the disciples obeyed his commands. When he says, as you go, make disciples and baptize, we are believers today because his disciples did what he said. What if they hadn't? What if Jesus was just wasting his breath here, some of his very last words to his disciples? He says, go, as you go, make disciples, baptize. And they said, yeah, whatever, Jesus, whatever. We would not be saved here today. This church would not exist. And the United States as we know it would not have been founded. That is a big deal if the disciples chose to ignore the Great Commission. But they didn't. Why are we so reluctant to obey? You see what a big deal can come out of people doing what Jesus said. As you go, make disciples and baptize. You're here today. This church is here today. The United States as founded is here today because they obeyed Christ. Why are we so reluctant to obey? This is huge. Huge. So we've seen Jesus' authorization. We see the commission. Thirdly, I want us to look at the obligation. After speaking the Great Commission, Jesus would ascend into heaven. And yet, notice what he promised here. He would be with his disciples forever. Look in verse 20. He says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he uses the word lo there in the middle of verse 20. That means, look, take note, attention. He said, I will be with you to the end of the age. But when is the end of the age? Well, that's till he comes back again. He is with us now spiritually. We will be with him physically on that day when he comes back. He says, but between now and then, I will be with you. And he'll never leave us. We have this precious promise from Hebrews 13:5. Look at it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has commanded us. He will empower us. I mean, Jesus tells his disciples here, and by implication, all of us, go reach the world for me. That's a huge job. Who can do it? No one. But he has commanded us, and so we know he will empower us to fulfill his commission. How? He empowers us with his word, and he empowers us by his spirit. Now think back to the Old Testament. God gave Moses detailed instructions for building the tabernacle and the tabernacle furnishings. God spoke to Moses. He said, make it this long, make it this high, put this in there, put this over there. He gave him complete instructions. The details was God's word. When it came time to build the thing, Exodus 31, 3 and 6 says that God filled men with his spirit to carry out the actual work. And so who's supposed to build a tabernacle that's going to please God? Who could possibly do that? No one. Yet God gave his word, God gave his spirit, and it was completed. Who can reach the world for Christ? No one. God gives us his word, he gives us his spirit. We can fulfill his commission because he is with us and he is in us. So let's wrap this thing up with what I like to call the conclusion. How does Jesus end the Great Commission? Amen. Amen. The word amen means so be it. It doesn't mean this prayer is over. It means so be it. According to Matthew, this is Jesus' final word. End of discussion. Go as you go, make disciples, baptize. Amen. Jesus' final word is to be our first priority, evangelism. Jesus' final word is to be our first priority, evangelism. Personal evangelism, sharing as you go, and worldwide evangelism, sending missionaries literally to the ends of the earth. Now we pray, we give, we go here at First Baptist Church. And we're going to continue to pray, give, and go, but we plan to expand our going to an annual church-wide mission trip. Our youth already go to West Virginia. We are planning a trip to Panama this August, and stay tuned for where we're going next year. He says, Brother Gary, don't keep that from us. Where are we going next year? I'm not going to tell you. You know why? I don't know. But this is going to be something that every year you can plan your calendar around. We're going to make sure you have opportunities to go all over the place, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the Great Commission. But I want you to know that the Great Commission begins personally with you. Oh, I know Jesus was telling his disciples and by extension all of us, but the Great Commission begins with you. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? You see, before you go reaching the world for Christ, you got to make sure you've been reached for Christ. You got to make sure that the Great Commission has reached your heart and your soul. So have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, and the third day he rose again from the dead? That's where the Great Commission begins, with you. Having received him, though, are you sharing his gospel with others? And having received him, are you enabling others to share his gospel? So see, the Great Commission is very personal. Oh, it's a public thing. And Jesus is speaking to multiple people here. But when it comes down to it, it's very personal. Have you been saved? Has the Great Commission reached you? And having been reached, are you seeking to reach others? And are you enabling others, like missionaries, to share his gospel in places that you may never visit, the ends of the earth where you may never go? And so, my friends, the challenge today, let's reach the world for Christ. But it begins with you.